Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. My name is Dina. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. We have a lovely guest today by the name of Margaret Shepherd. Margaret is a professional calligrapher, author, and educator. Throughout her 55-year career, Margaret's calligraphy is currently in the collection of the Smithsonian and in the Rare Books Department of the Boston Public Library. She has taught workshops and given live calligraphy demonstrations to artists across the world. Her brand new book, Learn American Calligraphy, it's available now, I believe. And it's a fascinating guide to the history, culture, and design of calligraphy in America. Welcome to the show, Margaret.
Thank you very much, Deanna.
I'm so glad to have you here. What got you started in calligraphy?
That's a very easy question. I flunked handwriting in third grade. I was doing great in first and second grade, loved what they were teaching us about letters, and I hit the wall. I just couldn't do it, and I didn't want to do it. Oh my God. I printed very fast for 10 years.
Oh, really? 10 years, just printing?
Just, writing little separate capitals and hoping nobody would criticize them.
That's very interesting. I remember when I was young, there was such a focus on cursive writing and being able to do every letter perfectly.
Yeah, the perfection was what I really couldn't do. I can get close on most alphabets, but getting it perfect was never my real art.
I understand. I think, I'm sure you're aware today, many people don't utilize cursive at all. I think the standard has become more print than anything.
Yeah, and as a result, they don't write as well because they don't write very often. And then they get so self-conscious about rusty old handwriting, when in fact, all they'd have to do is use it a little more. They'd be fine.
Yes, that is true. So you were printing, you said, for 10 years, and what changed that?
A friend gave me a calligraphy pen, and that just changed how I looked at letters, how I felt about writing them. All of a sudden, it's like somebody gave you a beautiful jacket to put on, and you said, oh, I look good in this. I think I'll do this from now on. And it just turned me around on it.
How long did it take for you? Because if you were just focused solely on printing, I mean, did you feel intimidated at all by the calligraphy?
No, because it was explained to me in a way that I really understood. It's like trying to learn a language by just memorizing it. And then somebody comes along and says, oh, there are verbs and nouns and adjectives. Let me show you the categories. And then suddenly you go, oh, I can learn this.
Wonderful. I mean, so while you were doing calligraphy, did you feel as if it was kind of similar to some sort of meditative practice or something?
Oh, yeah. And I still feel that way. Every time I demonstrate to a class how to look at the Roman letters, it's like I just enter this zone where everything's connected, where everything makes sense, where the shape of the O has a special relationship to the shape of the C, and the shape of the C has a special relationship to the top of the R. And I know it sounds really sort of new agey, but really it shows you that everything's connected.
I think that's a very beautiful way of of looking at it. I think I've never, I personally am somebody who loves to handwrite. A lot of my colleagues, especially in graduate school, you know, they type everything, but I personally have to handwrite every single thing. My dissertation was fully handwritten. And then I would spend weeks typing it up because there is something very, I feel like, sacred to actually writing with your hand.
I'm just including a quote from Lewis Carroll, who was very, very opinionated on letter writing. And he said, most of the problems with people's writing comes from hurrying. It would slow down. And then not only do you write better looking writing, but you pick better words.
Yes, because it is definitely more thoughtful.
Yeah.
When you're
writing. You let your mind catch up, so you're not just typing any old thing that comes into your head.
That's very, very true. So how have you found calligraphy almost, have you found it almost like therapeutic, kind of healing in some way, and how?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, part of it is just being able to walk down the street and understand the signs you see, understand why the artists who designed things with letters did it the way they did it. You can just see into creative people's minds, like, oh yeah, I see why they used Arial on that sign, or I see why Times Roman doesn't really work in that place. You become more literate. You can actually see what's going on around you. But also, I just like to have that pen in my hand, see the ink coming out, spend a few hours a day writing things that it helps if it's a text that you like, but even just practicing the alphabet, very calming. It kind of pushes the reset button.
Do you feel drawn to any certain types of font more than others?
What I like are the ones with serifs, because that's an older kind of type font. I know there are beautiful sans serif types, but I don't enjoy making them as much. I can do it, and I use them where it makes sense, but I just like the way the old-fashioned ones look.
Yes, I think noticeably very different than print today. I also like very old styles of writing and much older fonts as well. I think there's a lot of, I don't know, character, if you will, to the older styles.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. So when you've worked with people across the country and taught them how to do calligraphy, what has been the initial response from people?
I think most of them respond the way I did, which is, I didn't realize this existed. I thought it would be harder. You mean that's all I have to learn to get started? They're always pleased that it isn't a sort of, what's the word? It doesn't have a high barrier to entry. Almost anybody can try it out and certainly improve their ability to see, but they'll also, like I've been telling people who meditate, you'll meditate a lot better if you've learned to sit still and write those straight strokes.
Definitely. I think that, yes, that's definitely, many people, when they hear the word meditation, they do not equate it to at least sitting down and having your eyes open and focusing on something. More people believe, oh, I just sit down and close my eyes and I'm hoping for some sort of connection. But this is a very different way of approaching that, I would say, meditative state.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that everybody wants to do it. Right. I mean, you're perfectly happy with what you're doing with meditation, then you could try it with a pen, but you don't have to. It's just that if you're doing calligraphy, you can kind of get this free extra.
Right.
Where you slip into, psychologists call it a flow zone, flow state, where you really lose track of time. You can focus better. You don't get distracted by things. And they've actually discovered this about 40 years ago by testing people. Your brain goes into a much better sort of productive state.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look up flow state.
I can see how that would be extremely valuable for people, and also for people who are learning or looking for ways to manage stress in their lives. I can see how calligraphy can be really useful in that direction.
Absolutely. And what I try to emphasize for beginners is don't worry about getting it perfect. You're not doing somebody's Harvard diploma here.
Right.
You're just making a row of straight strokes. You can do it with a pencil if you're worried about having the right pen. It's the process of producing calligraphic strokes over and over. And I'm just thinking about it makes me feel like, I would like to write something right now.
Yeah, it does feel very relaxing, but also, like you said, it also feels very creative, you know, and it allows you to kind of be in that space to, even when you do make mistakes, like explore.
Oh, you know, people worry so much about mistakes, and they worry that they're going to have a typo.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, or a write-o, as the calligraphers call it. But that's part of the art. I mean, it's like if you're dancing, worrying that one foot isn't going to be quite right on one step. You can't be that demanding of yourself. You need to be kinder to yourself. And sure, you need a perfect copy at the end when you're doing a job for somebody, for a client. But that's a little different state of mind. That's the state of mind where you're an actor on the stage and you'd better get the lines right.
Yeah.
mostly you're in rehearsal or you're doing exercises. I mean, it's life's not like that. Life is not a demanding performance all the time.
I think that's I think that's very helpful for many people to hear, because I think we're kind of in a society where people do feel compelled to perform. And since we're always, not always, but a majority of people are always on camera or choose to be on camera, they do feel this need to constantly perform in some way. And perfectionism is at the forefront.
Do you find that people tend to be always performing?
I think people sometimes can be very afraid to be themselves.
Yeah. So. I think also sometimes they don't feel like it's enough just to be themselves, that it's not a satisfying enough experience to just sit there and write a warm-up exercise. They've got to show it to somebody. They've got to say, look what I did.
That's very, very, I think that's very true. Sometimes I find myself thinking about I know many years ago, people would write their thoughts in their own private journals, and they would have collections of journals, but it was just for them to get their thoughts out. And I think that is also, obviously I can't, you know, speak for everybody, but I feel as if it's become like a lost art in a way.
I'm not sure what you can do to sort of put that genie back in the lamp.
Yeah.
Out now, people are sharing too much. Sharing things that should be satisfying enough just for them. And then they feel like, well, I have to show it to somebody. And that's kind of too bad, because sure, if you dance, you want people to look at it. But you should have some part of your life that's just for you, that's not on public display and particularly that's not on public display to strangers.
Mm.
And I may be way out of date with this, but I can do calligraphy that can be reprinted. And when I write a book, you know, it's got to work for every reader. But I also like the kind of calligraphy where I write a note to you and I write your name on the envelope and I mail it to you and it only is read by you. I mean, that is kind of the highest form of writing where it's targeted at a particular person. It's not a public display. It's an incredibly intense private experience. And that also has a kind of quality of meditation. I'm sure that many of your listeners have family correspondence from the old days.
Right.
And when you come on your mother's letter to you 40 years ago, that's a tough one. I mean, that's really intense. Have you had that experience?
I will say that my grandmother, I remember when she was in nursing school, actually, and she, similar, you know, I think I probably get this from her, but all of her notes that she was taking were all handwritten, and it looked like calligraphy. Every, you know, hook was there, every loop was, everything was perfectly crafted. In all of her notes. And I used to be in deep admiration because I love to write. And just the time, as you kind of alluded to earlier, you know, taking the time to be very thoughtful and methodical about your writing. And I just thought it was a very beautiful art, but also not necessarily, there was no need for it to be on display.
Yeah. Well, and when someone writes to you, that is the most intimate, not just intimate, but it's a declaration that you're worth that extra time.
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
That they are thinking only of you right at that moment. I just think that's incredibly powerful.
I do too. Like you said, it's the time that it takes because we live in a culture where everything is very immediate and we want the message in 10 seconds and we shorthand everything as opposed to, you know, like you said, dedicating your time to finding the right paper, finding the right pen, you know, and then writing the letter that you would like to send. And I know it's, for many people, it's an old school practice, but I think there's something very beautiful, and that's an unfortunate lost art.
Yeah, I keep hearing that. I did write a book about the handwritten note. 25 years ago, people would say, oh, that's a lost art. Well, the book is still in print.
Wonderful.
I mean, it's still a lot. It's not coming back with, you know, a bang. It's still unusual to get a handwritten note, but you still get them.
That's true. That is very true. It is very uncommon nowadays for somebody to receive that. But I, you know, it would be, I think when you're writing thank you letters, or sending out personal invitations. Again, when it's time that you've spent putting that together for an individual, it feels very, I can't think of a better word, like intimate, thoughtful, almost even sacred to a certain extent.
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's a very beautiful thing. And I think sometimes we only reserve it for special occasions, like you said, where people see it, as opposed for it being a private act for yourself.
That's a tough one. My husband has the worst handwriting of anybody I've ever met. And he doesn't even use a pen. He uses a pencil. But he gets out a box of note cards and he writes a personal note to employees at his company to thank them for something. And I'll tell you, not a one of them says, oh, that's terrible handwriting. What they say is they phone him up and say, wow, I haven't gotten a handwritten note in years. Thank you so much. And they put it up and they hand it around, and they're just blown away by that little gesture.
I think people underestimate the impact and the power of, you know, even just the written word for another person. And it does evoke emotions, I think, in the receiver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when you see the handwriting of somebody you recognize, that's amazing. I mean, just the recognition. It's like seeing their face or hearing their voice. There's just nothing else like it.
That's a very good way of putting that. Like you said, seeing their face and hearing their voice. I love that because it is, it's somebody's personal style on a page.
Well, I feel like I want to tell you more about meditation, but we're covering a lot of life issues. And meditation does, and with calligraphy involved, it really teaches you sort of basic life lessons, like be patient, don't rush the process, be happy with the process. I don't know if that will help some of your listeners.
I certainly think so. I think especially when it comes to patience, I think it's something a majority of us struggle with in certain areas of our lives. And I think calligraphy certainly could assist that process, learning how to be more patient at least.
Yeah, well, and improve one skill in your life and you find that it improves a lot of the others.
So. That is certainly true. So how have you found calligraphy to connect you more to your intuition by chance?
Give me an example. I mean, nothing comes to mind immediately, but
I think sometimes when people spend the time, like just even handwriting a message or journaling for themselves, you know, it might have a deeper connection to their own inner voice or to the voice of their own hearts, and maybe certain revelations that they didn't access may be there before, you know, at that time, that they couldn't access before at the very least. Have you had any experiences like that?
I'm not sure how applicable this would be to anybody else, but when you said you had handwritten your thesis.
Mm-hmm.
I handwrote the first 8 of my books. A whole book, lettered by hand, illustrated by hand, diagrams, introduction, index, every single thing done with pen and ink. And I found that was the most productive way to think. You know, I didn't like to just type it out and turn it over to someone else. I wanted to see how it looked on the page, and I wanted to slow down the process of me thinking it up and putting it into ink. I felt like that had something magical about it, that what is written without effort is read without pleasure, said one English author, that people can tell how much effort you put into your writing. And if you just dashed it off, didn't care how it looked on the page, you know, didn't go back and say, oh, I'll pencil this in and then I'll come back to it. I just find I can't really think well without pen and ink involved.
I am 100% the same way. I think sometimes you definitely lose your train of thought or lose your connection if you are focused on typing or trying to find the right letters on the keyboard. you know, you forget what you were doing or where you were going with your writing.
Yeah. And think about pounding with separate fingers, just boom, 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 boom. And then think about flow and flowing out of a pen smoothly and at sometimes really connected, but you shape every letter that comes out. And that's engagement. I mean, that's total immersion in the process of choosing words, thinking about them, putting them on paper, and then finally, maybe sharing them with people. But compared to typing, typing is just kind of one-dimensional compared to hand lettering.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. And also with typing as well, and I guess this can be quite debatable, but I think you do lose a little bit of your creativity because, you know, you can explore more with your writing. I find personally, when I'm writing little short stories, I may use a certain style of writing. But if I'm doing something a little bit more academic, you know, my font or whatever I'm choosing might change. It just feels different than it would with typing in Arial font or Calibri or the standard font that we use today.
I can remember when I first started using email, even though I'm a real fan of handwritten mail. Some of it you got to do by email. The appearance of the page was so barbaric and sort of blunt and without any refinement at all. It really bothered me. Like, you can't pick a background color. Certainly back then you couldn't. You could barely pick the font. You couldn't deal with the spacing. You couldn't deal with how you wanted the page to look. And I think people may think that doesn't matter, but your subconscious mind looks at all that and says, that's ugly. Whereas when you take a beautiful sheet of paper out of an envelope, of course you're going to want to read what's on there.
Definitely. I think people forget about it being an experience. Yeah. As well, because it really is an experience, not only to, you know, do the calligraphy, to do the writing, to, like you said, pick the right pen, pick the paper, but to receive it as well from somebody else is an intimate experience.
Yeah. I don't do it right all the time, but at least I'm trying. And I'm trying to assure other people. For instance, people who maybe aren't satisfied with meditating, that there is something you can add to it that will make it much more three-dimensional. Yeah. You know, it's one thing to meditate with what's going on in your head, but to have real content in text and be writing that text and thinking about it, I guess you can tell. I just finished a book based on biblical scripture, and to spend 3 years passing that through my pen was just like a blessing, to be able to deal with really wonderful text day after day. I noticed that it really made my life sort of cleaner and happier and more upbeat. And that's just without much meditation, just with immersion in the calligraphy. So I recommend adding it to your life. I've done it.
Do you have, I know with some, for some people, when they meditate, they have a structured practice where they'll meditate, you know, in the morning for 5 minutes a day or whatever time is available for them. Do you have that also with calligraphy?
I used to.
Okay.
Whenever I'm writing a book, then I show up at the studio every day, same time, write for 3 or 4 hours. And as I explained, I used to write with the pen and ink for more than 4 hours. And that was just like a trip. I mean, just to go to that place and stay in it. Now I'm doing books that have typed text, and I pick out the pictures, but there's not that same hand element. So I'm always happy to have an excuse to go back and handwrite.
Definitely.
I can get back to that spot, you know, that same alpha state to get into.
So it's my understanding, and you can definitely correct me if I'm wrong, some of the earliest Bibles were completely handwritten.
Oh, yeah.
Very, and just kind of envisioning it in my mind, I mean, they were very beautiful texts, but there was a lot of calligraphy in those, in the Bible early on, in the creation of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and those scribes, they worked really hard. And they had coping mechanisms that let them letter 8 hours a day, and that let them focus. I mean, I can't say that they were in a state of bliss, because you can actually see in some museum hand lettered Bibles in museums, the scribes write little notes in the margins complaining about how their hand hurts.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But they knew it was God's work, and they knew it was worth doing well. And they had rules that they followed, and they helped each other write these. I mean, printing didn't come in till 1452, and there are a lot of Bibles handwritten before then.
Yes. And I think it is very, I really had no idea that they had little messages that they wrote in the Bible, because they are very, the lettering is very beautiful. And it looks very painstaking to create something like that. But 8 hours a day, that's pretty intense.
Yeah. Yeah. And they had to letter really small. There were the only books that were done in the big, you know, inch tall letters were for the choir to sing from. They had one book that the choir could see from 10 feet away. But the Bibles themselves had tiny letters, because then you could fit more text in.
True, yeah.
And back then, most people couldn't read anyway. So the pictures took up a lot of space. And then the lettering was sort of to help the minister read it aloud to the congregation. It was sort of an aid to memory. But you go to a museum and look at those old Bibles, and they're, I don't know how they did them without glasses.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely. I never thought that either.
Yeah, without electric light.
Yes. You're right. Even just I can imagine a lot of it was done by candlelight.
Well, that shortened the workday, all right.
Yeah.
A certain amount by candlelight, but they didn't like to, because there was always a risk of fire.
Right. Yeah.
That's the worst thing in a scriptorium, which is what they called their studios.
Wow.
Yeah.
So have you had the chance to study calligraphy from other cultures and how they write and, you know, do their script?
I actually did a book about 12 years ago called Learn World Calligraphy. My current one is Learn American Calligraphy. And that was kind of a piece of cake, because those are the letters we all know about.
Right.
Take for granted. But I did learn world calligraphy that included Arabic and Russian and Greek and Chinese. what I found was I could kind of teach somebody lesson one, and then I was in over my head. You know, scribes in those cultures spend a lifetime. I mean, I suppose in all cultures, they immerse themselves in it.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is highly valued even today, doing calligraphy in some cultures, more so than here.
Yeah. You're not supposed to mechanically print the Quran. It has to be handwritten to be proper. And same way with the Torah. And in fact, a Hebrew scribe can't make a mistake. If you make a mistake on the page, you have to dispose of it. One mistake. So they really valued their ability to focus.
Wow, that seems pretty intense.
Yeah.
What was one of the most challenging, I would say, scripts for you to learn?
They were all challenging. I have, even with just learning basic calligraphy, I had to work really hard. I didn't really have a sort of a snap talent to do it. And I think that actually worked out well because I'm very sympathetic to beginners. And my books are bought by a lot of beginners, especially the first one called Learn Calligraphy. It just sells and sells and sells because I put it in sort of words of one syllable, because that's what I had to do. And I guess the hardest one to learn was Mongolian. I love the script. It's the only script that goes from top to bottom. It's like this string of trailing plant. It's worth to go and look at it. It's just a wonderful, unique script. So I guess I classify that as the most challenging.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that before. I would have to look that up.
Yeah.
So what do you think, what have you valued most over your career, you know, as a calligrapher? What has been like the most important thing you've learned from calligraphy, from doing it?
Oh, man. I used to be so impatient. Sort of what you'd call slapdash. Always in a hurry. Always trying to meet a deadline. Always rushing through things. And, you know, that works well for some things, but it's not a good way to live your life.
Right.
Okay. Am I right?
That is so true.
Yeah. And I think anybody who meditates can identify with that, with what happens when you stop rushing.
And I think it is such a struggle for so many of us. But I think, like you said, there's a lot of power in slowing down and taking your time.
Yeah. And meditation teaches you to do that. And for me, calligraphy has certainly done that. If I want to write something, I can't do it fast. And if you look at calligraphy that looks sort of spontaneous and off the cuff, I would bet that took a lot of practice and rehearsal. I think being fast and slam dunking your performances, that's not a good way in the long run. I think slowing down is the way to go.
100% agree with that. Well, Margaret, I really enjoyed having you on the show today. I'm so glad that you decided to come speak to us about the power of calligraphy. And if people wanted to find you, how can they find you?
Well, they can look me up on my website, which is margaretshepherd.com. I've got 20 books. So Amazon has a lot of them. Just make sure you spell shepherd the way it's spelled in the dictionary or the Bible.
Okay. We certainly will. And do you host any particular workshops if somebody wanted to attend?
You know, not right now. I've put everything into my books. And while I love to show up and write the Roman letters for about an hour and talk about them, no, I'd rather people would just read it in my books.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Margaret. I've enjoyed speaking with you today.
Thank you so much. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you.